Welcome to this AHDB podcast, which is one in a series produced to tell the story of the work farmers, growers and AHDB people are doing under the umbrella of farm excellence. Joseph Keating is the AHDB technical lead for the Beef and Lamb Strategic Farm Programme, and he now explains the initiative.
The AHDB Beef and Lamb Strategic Farm Programme is part of the wider Farm Excellent platform within the organisation. And we started originally 2 years ago now. We recruited 10 farms and out of that group we really focused on beef production. And now we've just entered our second phase and we've recruited 5 new farms mainly focused around sheep. The point of the programme is really to look at the overall farm performance and identify ways we can improve the farm. We look at profitability of the business, look at the financials using our benchmarking tool FarmBench. We also look at the physicals, the performance of their flocks or their herds, and we look at the production costs and generally the overall farm business so we can really get a full appreciation for the farm, identify the key areas and move the businesses forward. As part of the work as well, we're trying to look at what new technologies are available to help drive the businesses forward. We've learned a lot through the first phase of the Strategic Farm Programme, but for me one of the key benefits was that farmer-to-farmer learning. Local farmers in the area seem to really appreciate a farmer standing up, putting themselves forward, opening up their business, what they're really good at, but more importantly the areas where they need to improving. And farmers have learned a lot from each other, and that's one of the brilliant aspects I think of the programme. We've learned some of the key areas that are common to all businesses. Grassland has been a priority for all the farms and focusing on how they can better utilise it and reducing their overall costs. Another key benefit of the programme is the regular weighing of livestock. We've seen this has generated a lot of different strengths to the business. Farmers have looked now on better utilising their antimicrobials because they're weighing from the correct weight, but also they're looking at the performance of their animals and evaluating which is the best stock on their farm, also identifying checks in growth quicker and sooner and react in a timely manner. So for me, it's really interesting to see those little things that farmers can do that really help the bottom line and improve their performance. As I mentioned, we've just recruited our new round of strategic farmers and we've just completed the launch events on those businesses. They've gone really well, really good engagement. We're really looking forward as an organisation to working with these 5 new farms spread across England to see how we can identify ways of improving their business and sharing these messages with the wider farming community.
Hello, my name is Sarah Pick. I'm a Knowledge Exchange Manager at AHDB Beef and Lamb. Today I'm on Mark Jelly's farm in Northamptonshire. He's one of our Beef and Lamb Strategic Farmers. I'm going to talk to him today about his experience of the programme and also what he has learnt and his advice to others wanting to get involved. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Sarah.
So, you've now completed a 2-year term as part of the Strategic Farm Programme. Why did you want to be part of the programme?
We got to a stage with our herd where we were facing a lot of challenges. We were coming up against some breed issues. We were coming up against some very, very rapid increases in feed costs due to escalating concentrate costs. And we could see that there was a lot of room for improvement. And I thought it offered an ideal opportunity to address all of that in one go, really.
So, one of the things you've focused on this year is your beef rations. I think you're wanting to look at the cost of that. How did you go about doing that and what are the main changes that you've made?
We've been very aware that our feed costs historically on the concentrate side have been very cheap because of the supplier that we were using, and we saw a 40% increase in feed costs over the course of a month in 2017 when our existing feed supplier ceased trading and we had to move to a new one. The impact of that was very obvious within the accounts very quickly, but at the same time we could see from the farm bench work we were doing alongside that there was some fairly easily achievable gains by reducing that cost in the future.
You got a nutritionist to help you work through these changes. Were they useful? Is that something that you would recommend?
I'd highly recommend it. We have Pete Kelly working with us. He was provided as part of the AHDB Strategic Farm Programme and his advice has been massive. I assumed that a nutritionist would come in and they would basically tell us you want this and you want this and you want this and that would be it. In actual fact, the service has been a lot more comprehensive than that. We've had advice not only on how to balance the rations, but whether the mineral provision is right. We've identified some mineral deficiencies within the breeding herd, within the cows, which we've corrected. That made a huge difference at calving this year in terms of speed of recovery of cows post-calving. It's little things like that which very quickly alter and improve the system without you really realising the effects that are happening behind the scenes in the first place.
That's it. It's all about those small marginal gains, isn't it? So can you just talk a little bit about what the diet used to consist of and what it now consists of?
Our finishing herd, the diets were very, very straightforward. We were buying concentrates from a local supplier who was sourcing all of their material from the local feed mills and biscuit mills in the Midlands. It was a great ration. It was cooked. It was high quality and it was a lot cheaper than it probably should have been. That made it really easy. We'd just have a lorry come in and deliver, and we would then take from the heap and just feed it straight out to the cattle and add some minerals along the way, which was very, very straightforward, along with ad lib straw. It was a very cheap, very simple, very quick to feed ration, and it worked very, very well. As the feed costs escalated very quickly, we realised that we'd got to do quite a lot of changes. So we introduced some hay into the ration on the heifer side, on the slower growing cattle, and we moved from bull beef briefly to steers, and again trying to maximise the opportunity to move towards a more forage based system. But we were very aware that there was a lot more opportunity to improve that using our own homegrown grain and possibly moving to silage production as well.
So this year you did actually make some silage. How did you find that?
Yeah, we did. It went well, actually. We haven't increased our grassland area, which is the first and most important thing in my mind, because I don't want to compromise the arable area too much if I can help it. So we've moved to rotational grazing on the grassland, which has made a massive difference. We've seen huge increases in grass growth, and we've maintained live weights across a much smaller area of grassland, which has been a great step forward for us. In the process of doing that, we've also then been able to free up some of the land that isn't ridge and furrow on the farm, which we've grown silage on. So this year the silage has been on flat fields of permanent pasture. The quality of the silage we've got is very good in terms of the preservation in the wrap and things like that. There are opportunities, if we'd have cut sooner or been able to cut sooner, there would have been a lot of opportunities for reducing feed costs further, because we've had to supplement the silage with a little bit of concentrate to keep energy and protein levels where we need them.
And I know something we were discussing earlier is because of the wet weather you haven't managed to drill the crops that you usually would, so there really is a lot of pressure for you to increase the quality of the silage next year to make up for that.
Yeah, we're looking forward. I mean, the thinking and the planning that goes in with silage production is obviously a lot more complicated than it was when I was just ringing up a guy on the end of the phone and ordering a lorry load of concentrate for delivery the next day. But at the same time, looking forward to winter 2020, there's likely to be, I would think, higher cereal costs in the UK for livestock feed, because there just isn't the cereal in the ground at the moment. There certainly isn't here. So part of our response to that has to be to look at our cereal costs going forwards and see whether we can reduce those further. So we are looking at the arable area at the moment. We've been unfortunate in that we've got no crops in the ground yet because of the weather, but it does offer us an opportunity to rejig things, and we're potentially going to look at putting some very fast-growing Westwold-type mixes in the spring into the arable ground with the intention of producing some high-quality silage off those. And as long as we get the timings right, I'm sure that we can do a good job of growing them. If we grow them as an arable crop, they can be in the rotation for 6 months or so, and hopefully help with a bit of black grass control and things along the way as well.
Will you bale or clamp?
We haven't got any clamp facilities,
right.
So it'll all be baled. That's not a problem. We've got space for that. Looking forwards, I'm not sure whether we will look to put clamp facilities in. We might do. My only concern with that is the capital cost of putting it in the first place, and also potentially then having to improve the equipment on the farm, or rather change the equipment on the farm to then feed it back out again.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Can you just touch a little bit on what the new rations consist of for the finishing bulls and heifers?
For the finishing bulls, we are at the moment on a urea-treated wheat. So the wheat is homegrown. We harvested it while it was still moist, so instead of waiting for it to get down to 15% as we would normally cut on the arable units, we cut it earlier, so we cut it at about 18-19%. With hindsight, we should have cut it wetter than that. We really want to be in there when it's at 25% moisture next year. So we added the urea to it and then we covered it up, and that has worked quite well. The quality of the wheat coming out the other end of the clamping process is very good. Cattle seem very happy on it. It seems to be doing what it should be doing, and there's no rodent problems, bird problems or anything like that with it either. So it's been quite a successful experiment, and the bulls are on ad lib urea with some hay offered, and then obviously they're being straw as well, so there's some straw for forage as well.
So by not buying in as much concentrate and tweaking the rations, have you done any calculations on how much you think this will be saving you?
I've got some rough figures in my head at the moment. If we'd have been on our old system with our old supplier, I would expect this year our concentrate cost to be in the region of £24,000. Having lost that supplier and moved to the new suppliers, although it is a better ration, we were paying, or would have been paying, in the region of £38,000 this year. I'm expecting my bought-in concentrate costs to have fallen now to somewhere in the region of £10,000 to £12,000 for the whole winter. So there's significant room there for my silage costs and before I start getting towards those sort of numbers. Yeah, it's a real mindset change for us, but I can see some real potential with it going forwards if we can get better at what we do.
And how will you measure how successful the changes have been?
Well, our performance on cereals was already very strong. I'm not expecting to see an improvement in performance. What I want to do is maintain performance. So if I can maintain the growth rates and we can maintain the dead weight sale weights, in my eyes, that will be a success. In terms of the heifers, it's a little bit different for them because we're moving towards breeding our own replacements instead of buying in. So there's an element of change of management to accommodate those within the system, as well as just concentrating on finishing them as we used to do. So it's a little bit harder to judge what's a success and what's not. But I guess it will be the number of heifers that we can put to the bull in the following spring, which are at the right weight and in the right body condition to be served, as well as the finished animals that come out the other end of the system as well.
Just out of interest, what growth rates are you getting in those finishing animals?
The heifers, their ration is targeted at growing at 0.8 of a kilo a day, and last time we weighed those, we were on target for that. So I'm fairly comfortable at the moment that the performance was where it needs to be. The big sort of proof of that will be the next weighing, because that will be the first time that we've really been on settled rations on ad lib, and it should give us a real idea then of where the pros and cons or weaknesses in the system lie.
So it sounds like you've got a good way of measuring the physical performance, but obviously you also carry out Farm Bench, which then lets you look at the financial performance as well.
Yeah, the financial performance is obviously more important than the physical, really. I've always used the physical KPIs as being my easy go-to method of working out how the system is going. If we're hitting our key performance indicators on growth rate and things like that, then it's a good indication that we are on target for the financial side of it. But Farm Bench has enabled us to really drill down into the costings a lot further than we've done before, and we can see in a lot more detail whether we're making money on the suckler herd before weaning or up to weaning, whether we're making money on the finishing herd or whether it's in the growing stock or whatever. And that level of detail has been really useful, because whilst I don't think you can judge the system on 1 year, you need several years worth of numbers before you can really start drawing conclusions. It's offered us a great opportunity to really understand where the costs are and where they lie. And as part of the strategic farm programme, being able to benchmark my numbers against other producers with similar systems has been invaluable, because it's really helped highlight some of the weaknesses in our system compared with others.
Nutritionists also touched on the possibility of feeding maize to the finishing bulls. What were your thoughts on that?
I understand why he wants me to, or why he's interested in me using maize. I've got several concerns over that. We've got a TB issue in the area, and at the moment there is no proof as to whether the TB came from local wildlife or whether it was bought in or whatever. My concern is that if we encourage a lot more wildlife into the buildings or the yards by feeding attractive feeds such as maize, that I might end up with a problem which, having already experienced it once, I don't want again. But it's certainly something we haven't ruled it out, but we're not moving to it straight away.
That's it, you're focusing on that grass silage to start off with. Can you just explain some of the other improvements that you've made as part of Strategic Farms?
Yeah, I mean, we've done quite a lot of stuff with the Strategic Farm Programme, really. We've done AI for 2 years now. That's enabled us to change the breeding in the herd using some top-end genetics rather than having to spend huge amounts of money on very expensive live bulls. I'm quite pleased with the results this year on that, and I hope that going forwards we'll be able to continue to use AI, really, because it does offer us a much better way of tailoring breeds on the farm to what we want to achieve. We've used the EID tags and the EID reader along with an electronic weighhead. That has been really, really good. It's brilliant, actually. Didn't realise how useful it would be, being able to actually see growth rates as animals went through the crush, rather than writing them on a piece of paper and then interpreting them in the office at a later date, as I had been doing. So that's been really good. So, yeah, we've looked a lot at breeding and trying to make sure that the carcasses we produce in 3 or 4 years' time, which is effectively what we're working on conceiving at the moment, are going to be fit for purpose and fit for the market, because the market is moving at the moment in terms of the specification and demands. And if we don't respond to that now, we're going to be caught out in a few years' time when the specification has been moved.
So just to summarise, what are the main benefits that you've seen as becoming a strategic farmer?
Probably the biggest benefit has been having other farmers on the farm. Being part of the programme itself is almost like having a new network of friends who are like-minded with similar systems and everything. So I've got the other strategic farmers I can call upon and I can sort of go and visit and I can speak to if I've got issues, and that's been really helpful. But actually having open events on the farm where we've had 60 or 70 people come onto the farm, there is always somebody that can find a problem with your system. And actually, as long as you don't take it personally as a challenge or an insult, it's not. It's normally a fresh pair of eyes that have seen something which you could improve. And I find that as well when I go to other strategic farm events or AHDB events, I always come away having learned something. If I can go to two a year and I can bring home a learning point from each of them, then over a couple of years things very quickly improve. And that's why our physical performance has reached the levels it has done, because we've been able to see what other people are doing already and then adapt it for our own systems and our own situation.
Brilliant, thank you ever so much for chatting with me today. I'll let you get on, as I know this morning you were saying that the cattle need moving paddocks, so thank you very much. Next up, we'll hear from Adrian Coombe, who is one of our new sheep strategic farmers. He is going to talk about his involvement with the programme.
Hi, my name is Leah Shanks and I'm AHDB's Beef and Lamb Knowledge Exchange Manager for the South West. Today I'm going to have a chat with Adrian Coombe from Dupar Farm in Callington, Cornwall, one of our 2019 strategic farmers. We're going to speak about his involvement in the project, what the farm's objectives are and why he joined the programme. Hi Adrian, can you tell me a bit about your farm and why you wanted to join the programme?
Hi Leah, we're a mixed family farm of about 360 acres. We run about 450 North Country mules with 150 ewe lambs. All the lambs are finished off grass, except for the pets, and sold dead weight. We also have 180 beef cattle bought as weaned calves and sold dead weight. We also have 60 acres of winter and spring barley, 10 acres of oats and 5 acres of potatoes. On the farm, there is also a 60 kilowatt biomass boiler and 3 domestic PV systems. As a sideline, we also have a Christmas tree retail business selling 600 or 700 trees. We are also lucky enough to be a round compare farm. I joined the project because I needed help to progress my business. I was looking at grass and management. I got as far as I could by myself. I've introduced rotational grazing to no real structure to it. And I wanted to put a workable plan together, you know, measure grass and actually know where I am. Basically to increase the profitability of the farm, you know, without a negative quality impact on the quality of my life, and try to be sustainable.
What do you hope to achieve from being part of the strategic farms?
Our objectives for the next 2 years are to continue benchmarking to help inform our business decisions. You know, if you don't measure, you don't know where you are. Within that, to actually improve my grass land management, and obviously with that, the utilisation of it, and also to actually improve the quality of the grazing, set up better rotation with my arable crops to get better seed mixtures in, and also look at the productivity of the permanent pasture as well. I also want to be able to set up a rotational grazing system for my cattle. I'm doing it fairly well with my sheep, but I haven't transferred it across the cattle yet. Also look at improving the management of the ewe lambs to help get better condition on them after lambing, to hopefully have a better crop of lambs in the second year.
And what have you learned so far?
So far I've learned I'm slightly understocked. I have been increasing the sheep numbers over the last 4 or 5 years gradually, and I'll continue doing that for the next couple of years as well. I think increasing them greatly in 1 year would be knock-on effects 5-6 years down the line, and also it's balancing the workload with them as well. The other thing I've learned with having our first meeting is people don't know the cost of productions. They don't know what good growth rates are on lambs and various other things. Also learned that my pet lambs are profitable. There was a question that came up in the meeting, you know, what is my gross margin on them? Or if there was one, they are actually giving me a profit. And data is key to improvements. You know, without measuring, you don't know where you are and what improvement you have made.
So the Farm Excellence Programme promotes farmer-to-farmer learning. Why do you think this is important?
What experts actually say and try to promote doesn't always work in real situations. And to see it in practice, you know, if it works or doesn't work or needs tweaking, you know, you can see that on farm. And attendees all have different solutions and opinions of how something should be done. It's like having 50 experts in the room rather than just one.
Your launch event back in October was a great success and we had over 60 people there. What were the main takeaways from this meeting for attendees?
We're not perfect. We know we've got improvements to make and we're open to suggestions. The other thing is measurements facilitate change. You don't measure, you don't know where you are. You don't know monetary terms and physical terms. Unless you know where you are, you don't know how to improve or where to improve. Pet land management isn't just about this year. and making a profit this year on them. It's also a new management decision going down the line next year.
Your next event's on Friday the 24th of January, and it's got a business theme. Can you tell us a bit more about what we're going to be looking into?
The main thing we're going to be looking at is always a joint meeting with Cereals as well. We'll be looking at how to get the most from your accounts and your accountant.
Thanks, Adrian. If you want to find out more about the Strategic Farm Programme in your area, please visit ahdb.org.uk/farm-excellence.
Remember, if there's a topic that you would like to know more about or have an idea for a future podcast, please get in touch with AHDB. The podcast you've been listening to now was the third in a series covering farm excellence. For all AHDB podcasts, please visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk/podcast. Here the playlist will appear for you to make your selection. Thank you to the producer, Sarah Meeson. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.